For those of you who were not here on Wednesday night, I gave out a simple list. It is not a exhaustive list by any means. It is just a list to give you some ideas of how to be a better steward over the earth. For those of you who are here this morning, I think everybody already knows, but I want to give a really brief background as to where we are, because to me, this has been one of the most, I've taught some really detailed lessons over the years. This one, in its simplicity, I think is one of the more important lessons that I have taught. This lesson itself started with me seeking out the vision, because a lot of things are changing, both in Macon and Montezuma, and I was seeking God about the vision and how to continue to fulfill it. And through various things, I realized that what I was seeking from him was the mission for us right now. What is our current mission? And I shared with everybody a couple of weeks ago that our focus is going to change here very quickly into youth ministries, because we need to begin to address the young people. Any church, well, not every church, but the growth of a church, the life of a church, according to its ministry. If you have a church that really ministers to seniors, then as long as you have seniors, you're great. But if you're trying to grow a church and allow it to develop and to continue to grow, it has to have young people in it. And so I was looking at our ministry and how we need to begin to affect our cities in both places. But after doing that, I began to ask some questions, and I've shared this with you all before. Those of you that know, I began to ask, well, what was God's, Jesus's vision? What was Jesus seeing? What was that? And I recognized that Jesus did not have in himself a vision, but he was following the mission that his Father had established for him. He was sent here to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come here with a vision of his own. He came here on a what? Mission. Each of us have come here also, whether we realize it or not, with a mission on our head. We have something that we are supposed to do while we are here as well. We do, however, get overwhelmed with life sometimes. And being overwhelmed with life or overcome by our current situations, we oftentimes miss what we're here for, which then led me to search out about Adam, because I was like, well, what does God want? And the only thing that I could figure out was I would have to find it in the pages of our Bibles. And when I went to the book of Genesis, that's where I found what God initially said to Adam, which would be the mandate for mankind. All right, and I need y'all to get that. What he said to Adam, he was speaking over man. Adam, however, missed it. So God is having a meeting with the heavenly host, and he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, you know, all of that. And let us give him dominion over all the earth and over the animals and all that stuff, right? So what God did in the beginning is he gave Adam stewardship of the works of his hands. We went to the book of Psalms, and we found in the book of Psalms that it was very clear. They said, well, who is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would give him dominion over the works of your hands? And that in itself, as I've been sharing with y'all, that's pretty big. That the creator of everything would turn the stewardship of an entire planet over to mankind. Question is, how have we done since we've been given this job? Y'all got it? Because that was the assignment. And it is amazing to me. There are a couple of points that really stuck out to me. One is that when you don't have a mission or vision statement or whatever, and you're just running along, man, you can create a lot of stuff. Why you say that, Pastor? Because we have created a lot of stuff that has made life very complicated. Many people spend a lifetime trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? What does God want me to do? We're looking for this really big thing. When he started it, it was a very simple thing. Take care of what I gave you. Watch over the earth and all of that. Then I realized, you know, maybe we're not as big as we think we are. Because we feel like we are the crowning achievement of God's godliness, his divinity, his creative power. Man is everything. But have you seen the galaxy? Have you seen, y'all at least did a lesson a year and a half, 2 years ago, on the galaxy of galaxies and how it looked like a spider web, but then when you zoom in, what you were seeing is one galaxy connected to another galaxy connected, and galaxies are huge all by themselves. And yet we feel like we are his crowning achievement. When in fact, what God did was said, I need you to watch over this. Not everything. He said, this little bit of what I created is your responsibility. And the question again, how have we done? I guess I should even redefine it or laser beam it a little bit. Have you done? I had to ask myself, and I hadn't been a good steward my whole life. See, every time I heard about stewardship, I heard about money. That probably be because the people talking about it needed more money. And so they would teach all money and tell you that's about stewardship. But we have something bigger than money that we're supposed to be looking after. An entire planet. And the people on that planet. And the animals on that planet. And the environment of that planet. And yet, mankind in all his wisdom keeps trying to get off the planet. And take all his bad habits into outer space. I'm going to take it to the moon. I'm going to send something to Mars and see if it's an inhabitable planet. But God already promised he was going to send another heaven and earth. We don't have to go looking for it. He's going to bring it. And I think, I'm just surmising, maybe that the new heaven and the new earth are going to be for those who get this thing that we've been talking about. Because if it's brand new, he's probably going to want it to be taken care of, too. And so why would you bring the people that wouldn't take care of the last place to the new place? Whew. That's pretty good there. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is kind of like shutting down a cancer treatment center. When I talk about the vision that God had and the mission assigned to man, this would be like asking an oncologist to find a cure for cancer. You cut off his livelihood. What you trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying that this religious thing might be a whole lot bigger than it was ever supposed to be. And that we've lost focus with it in that the saving of souls is supposed to restore people back to their right relationship with God. Which then, if the curse is removed, puts them back under the initial orders given to mankind. Wow! It couldn't be that simple and deep. That maybe we've created a whole bunch of stuff that's just the outgrowth of failure and redemption. Does that make any sense to everybody? We are supposed to have this relationship with our God. It had been broken by our progenitor. Is that what it is? The initial one, the one who, you know, our Adam had a relationship with God that was so cool that God just showed up in the evening and came through the garden. Hey, what's up, partner? How you doing? He had a relationship with him. And since then, we have been trying to create or reestablish this relationship. And now we spend all of our waking hours worshiping him, but nobody's looking after the planet. I'm not saying it's wrong to worship him because he gave us life and something to do. What I am saying is that maybe we're not doing what he wants done. Am I making any sense to anybody this morning? And so as I go through this, I'm trying to bring us to this other point that God, it may not be all that complicated, but we have made it extremely complicated. Now, I'm going to say this to y'all, but realize I'm recording because some other people are going to hear this. But the complexity of being the children of God, maybe it ain't supposed to be so complex. Maybe it's not supposed to be so difficult. You know, if we really take it back to the nuts and bolts of it, we're supposed to be seeing about his stuff, right? Caring about what he created. Get it? Even you, Gary, even me, because you're a created thing as much as I am. And so I'm supposed to love people and animals and the planet and just show the love of God, take dominion over that, take control of it, replenish it, all of that stuff. Am I making any sense to anybody based on scripture? And we get upset because these other groups, they don't go to the right church, but they care about the planet and they watch over animals and they see about people. It's an amazing thing to me that some of the people that we say are not acceptable in church are the people that actually do the things that God said need to be done. We're so busy having church that we're not doing the assignment of the church. And I hate to even say it, but initially there wasn't no church. It was just his people. They all belonged to him. They were all his. And they had a job to do. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, I'm just saying, this is, you know, I remember this preacher a long time ago. He was at the pinnacle of things. Boy, he was getting down. He preached a sermon and I ain't heard no more from him. And I'm praying that that ain't what this sermon is. I pray that this is enlightenment for the church, that we do learn to manage money, that we do learn to do all these other things, but that we remember what it was he sent us here to do. I always wondered why after I got saved, if I did some of the old stuff, I'd be walking along chewing a piece of gum and I throw a piece of paper down and I get to walk and something say, you better go pick that up. Y'all might not know nothing about that. I couldn't get very far from it. It was like, go get that. Well, if it ain't that big a deal, I don't think some on the inside, because they would scream that out to me like it was a big deal. And I go back and I pick it up and I go on about my business and I crumple it up and I put it in my pocket. Just for reflection this morning, before I go into this next little lesson, which should open up your awareness of what Jesus was doing in the scriptures and a lot of these teachings about stewards and stewardship and taking care of this and how the kingdom operates and all of the stuff he was showing us, was that there was responsibility for us in this. And he was upset primarily with the church of that day, that they had all these rules and things in place, but didn't care for nobody. And he came here caring for people, watching out for people. And all the rules we set in order, Matthew cracked me up one day. He said, now, wait a minute. The church I used to go to said you had to get baptized and then this, that, and the other. He said, but Jesus, the Holy Ghost came. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they asked the question, well, can't we baptize them now that they had all? How they get the Holy Ghost without being baptized unless it's okay with God? Y'all with me? So we have started to confine people within spaces of our own religious concepts, instead of following what the scripture says and fully understanding what God is trying to do. He's trying to bring us all together. Amen. The white folks and the black folks. How is it that, you know, I got some white folks. I'll be in church with some white folks a little later, you know, but right here in Montezuma, how come we don't have no white people in the church? Because there's some white people in Montezuma. But Sunday is the most segregated day I don't understand. If we understand God the way we say we do, then there ought to be a little speckle of color and a little pop of non-color and a little pop of brown and a little pop of this. You know, we ought to have some color up here. Amen? Yes. We call stewardship Cadillacs and houses and all of that. But those are things that are given to people who are financially sound. You got what I'm saying? That's just a part of stewardship. The initial stewardship is a whole lot bigger than a house. It's a planet. It's when you go to the lake to have your cookout, make sure you pick that trash up before it gets in the water. Don't throw your cans off in the lake, you know, and all of that. Y'all get where I'm going. Watch over the waterways and all of that stuff. And yet we've not taken control of that which he entrusted to us. Amen. And in these teachings that Jesus did all throughout the Bible, it really teaches us to be more like God, to be like him. And you, it's just different. It was just different. So this morning, what I want you to do, I want to use as an example this morning, I don't want to go back to Genesis and walk through all of that and Psalms and all that. I'm going to read from two places. I want to read from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. And this is the story man has titled The Prodigal Son. It is not what it says in the Bible. It is what whoever was breaking the Bible down calls the prodigal son. All right. And the word prodigal, let me go on and just give that to you. The word prodigal itself, when defined, is when a person, the adjective, is spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully extravagant. Having or giving something on a lavish scale. So when you hear the word prodigal, it's talking about his overdoing. And that's what he did when he went off to that place, is he overdid. He was trying to show out. Y'all got it? The noun is a person who spends money in a recklessly extravagant way. Y'all got me? So I got something I want to lay out to you. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 15, then Luke 16. I was looking at this and I was trying to wrap it all in my head to get it clear. So sin, Adam sinned. What does the word sin mean? Transgressed. He fell short. Well, what was his coming short? I want to hear it in your words. What was his coming short? And then I'm going to give you what I have. What was it?
Disobedience.
Okay. I like y'all. Boy, y'all with me today. It was disobedience. It wasn't here the apple from the, no, God said don't eat from the tree. So let's do this. As the employee, manager, steward of said property, the earth, which belongs to God, the only way you can be a faithful steward is to follow the rules of the person who told you what they wanted done with their stuff. Anybody with me? The earth belonged to God. He said, of all these things you can freely eat, but don't eat off that tree. I just need y'all to get that. While you're here managing my stuff, eat everything. Have a bite of everything. Have a good time, man. Name the animals. Watch over them. Y'all make babies. You be fruitful. Multiply. When you eat something, plant something back. When you do something, clean it up. Make it nice. Keep it nice. But don't eat from that tree. Well, he's my boss, my creator. And if he said don't eat from that tree, then that's like don't spend any money in that drawer. Are y'all with me? See if we just bring it to that. Well, see, he ate the fruit and the fruit is no. It was just to get him to disobey what he'd been told, excuse me, as a steward. And many of us, I hate to say this, let me back it up. Not here at Christian Life. But I know some folks that if I had $30,000 or $40,000 and I couldn't get to the house and I say, hey, look, I need to leave this with you till I get back, I know that I'd have $40,000 and maybe some extra when I got it, because they just might say, you know what, I ain't quite sure exactly what, so I'll put something with it to make sure I get you all your money back. All right? But I also know some people who I couldn't leave it at their house. Because the minute I left, they'd be like, whoo! They go to spend it. And when I come back, I'd be like, hey, where's my money? What had happened was, I had a party. Well, listen, if I can't trust you with it, I can't give it to you, because I need to be able to trust you with what I've given you. Y'all got that, right? So this stewardship thing is about, can I trust you with something? I want y'all to really get how deep and simple this could possibly be. That he's just trying to see if we can be trusted with something. And he gave us something that every day that he worked on it, he looked at and said, it's good. I wonder how he sees it now. I wonder how, when God looks at what he created with his hands and said, here, man, take care of it, how he feels about it now. I wonder if the mountains are as beautiful. I wonder if the waterways are as pristine. I wonder if the fish are in their initial condition. I wonder if he's still looking for some animals that shouldn't be extinct, but are. Is anybody with me? Y'all see how deep that just got, right? I didn't tell you to kill them. I said, watch over them. So go with me to Luke 15. And when you have it, please say, I have it. I don't. So in Luke 15, I have a couple things here. All right. So they call him the prodigal son. It's 15 and 11. When you have it, say, I have it. But really, it is the story of a father and two sons, an older son and a younger son. All right. And there are three people who are being judged in this story, are being highlighted. The father and his actions, the elder son, which, well, not really, yes, and his actions, and the younger son who we focus on. But there are a lot of people who are being highlighted in this story. And there's stewardship being shown in this story from three different points of view. Y'all ready? So in verse 11 it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them, get this, underlined, his living. It wasn't theirs, it was his. All right. And not many days after, the younger son, doesn't say prodigal, it says the younger son, all right, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, what are we talking about today? Stewardship. Y'all got it? Now realize this. His father had something to give him, which means his father had done well. Y'all get it? And when he said, give me my portion, his father liquidated some stuff. Said, okay, here you go. You take that. And he took his part and went for a journey. Hmm. 14. And when he had spent all. Y'all got it? Now I need y'all to get this, because this whole time that he's been working for his daddy has not been spending. He has been building. They've been eating. Are y'all with me? They've been eating, they've been drinking, they've been living well, they have gathered servants, they've done all of this, they have everything that they need, plus some, got it? And he says, can I have my portion? Sure, you can. And he took off because he wanted to have a party. He didn't want to exercise faithful what? Stewardship. Y'all got it? He didn't want to. It's like giving someone a car and they don't have to pay for it. Got it? Y'all know what happens. Full tank of gas. They run all the gas out, motor tapping, they keep driving. Right? Oh, well, I heard it tapping. You didn't think to call? You didn't think to stop and ask somebody what it is? Nah. Ain't my car. I ain't pay nothing for it. Right? They don't have the same concern as the owner. But that is an unfaithful stewardship. Because a faithful steward says, whoa, something has changed in the condition of this, whatever it is, from the time I got it to right now. And a faithful steward says, how can I fix what might be wrong? Or ask the question, is there something wrong? Yes. And then they go about to see how to repair it. When we were growing up, Ron loaned me a set of hedge clippers. When I pick it up, I notice it's got a small leak. When I get to my house, either before I use them or after, I order the part that he didn't have. I put the part on and then I take it back to him. That's how we were raised. And when you get it back, you didn't have to do that. Boy, I really appreciate it. You didn't have to do it. Well, I appreciate you loaning it to me. Something about good stewardship, which is not how it is today. All right? Yes or no? Yes. All right. Ma'am, you may not, absolutely, you may not get it back. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So he got a job. Where do you think he learned that at? At home. Got it? 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave him. So he had the desire, but not the opportunity. And that's what brought this thing to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Wow. Stop. He hadn't noticed the situation prior to leaving. But now that his situation has changed, he understands how good it was. Y'all with me? And I perish with hunger. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father. Now, is this, what is his new frame of mind? See, he had a frame of mind before. But this other frame of mind now, when he came to himself, y'all remember the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. He had been taught to be a good steward. And when he found himself in a position that was not the position of a good steward, he realized, oh, this ain't the life I'm used to living here. And he says, man, if I was at home, even the servants have more than I have right now and to spare, right? So he sees that there is a difference between faithfulness and unfaithful stewardship. Got it? Then he says this, listen, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. What is it, you all, that makes him say, I'm not worthy to be a son? He hadn't been a good steward. He had not lived that disciplined life that he'd been trained to live. And so he knows that his behavior does not reflect that of a son of his father. Are y'all with me? Likewise, we have to look at ourselves today and ask, do we reflect the image of our father? Y'all got it? And as pertaining to specifically stewardship, are we taking care of what God has entrusted to our hands? Y'all with me? What verse am I on? 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So wait. I don't think this is the first compassionate thing his father did for him. We just didn't see it. He said, I want what's coming to me. His father very easily could have said, no, it's not time yet. But I figure he realized he needs to understand and he don't understand. And gave him the opportunity to run on out there on his own. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said about the young man that was a part of the church at Corinth, I think, that was doing some nasty stuff that he shouldn't. And he says, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul might be saved. He was like, let him go through some stuff so he'll be concerned about the important thing. Amen. Y'all get it? This father said, ain't nothing but money. Gone. You know, he didn't stop him when he was ready to leave. He didn't scold him when he asked for what he had no business asking for. He gave it to him and let him go learn his lesson. He need to learn this before I die. Right? He ran on out there, baby. He ran on out there. And he was a prodigal. He lived lavishly, never replenishing a thing, never restocking his shelves, flamboyant on money he didn't earn. You get it? I remember when I came to the shocking reality that I didn't own a Chrysler New Yorker. I had driven one most of my teenage life. I had Chrysler Imperials and Chrysler New Yorkers brand new one every couple of years. The young people that knew me back then was like, boy, that Williams something else, boy. Because when I drive up at 14, 15, 16, I was driving a New Yorker when I was at my daddy's place. Girl saw me, look at that joker riding there. And then I got out on my own and I had to buy a 66 Dodge pickup truck with push buttons because I ain't had the money to buy what daddy had. I just need y'all to get it. Huh. I realized that the life I was living had been earned by somebody else. Got it? The life that we live was created by somebody else. And we should respect it because we don't want to do without what he has blessed us with. Amen? So we look verse 21, because it says he had kissed him on his neck. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. A sin is a mere transgression. What he was saying is, I've fallen short. I didn't live the way I knew to live. I have displeased heaven. And why would he have displeased heaven, y'all? Because he was supposed to be better. He was supposed to honor his father and his mother. He didn't honor them by the way he spent. He was supposed to do a whole lot of things different than he did, but he didn't. He didn't respect the way he was raised. And so, you know, and then, and I have transgressed you. I've disrespected you. Talking about give me, you know, like you dead already. You know, give me mine. And then you spent your life getting this. And in a little matter of time, I spent up all this. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Wow. Isn't that something, y'all? 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For my son, get this, y'all, was dead. Somebody, read that out. Elise, would you read the Amplified for me, please? Son was dead. Easy reader, anybody? I'm just making sure. We good? And is now alive. He was lost and is found. Do y'all see the deeper meaning now? See, my son was dead. Trespasses, sin, doing. But he's alive now. He was lost, but he's been found. Who found him? See, get that. They didn't go searching for him. He found. He came to himself. My son understands now. And it's time for a celebration that this boy understands. He has awakened from his sleep. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. So daddy, you see his point of view? Number one, daddy has the stewardship of his child to be concerned about. Amen. As a good steward, he does what is necessary to bring his child to a better place. And so he's celebrating because he hadn't lost him. He has matured him. He made it back. And not only is he back, daddy says, hey, now you're my son. Put a robe on him. I don't even like the way he looked. That's who he was. I want him to see who he is. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put some shoes on his feet. Y'all got it? So he puts him pretty much back in the right relationship. Amen? 25. Here comes the sticky part. At my house, this would be Elise and Daniel. Now the eldest son came in from the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Music and dancing. And he said to one of the servants, why are we having a party? He's smelling like pollen and dust and goat turds and things. He's been out in the field working pigs. He's out there working. And he said, ain't nobody tell me we had a party today. Imagine his surprise. Imagine his surprise. 27 says, and he said unto him, thy brother is come. Can't y'all hear it? What? You know, this is a servant talking to him, not his daddy. And thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry. I ain't going in there. Oh, excuse me. And would not go in. Therefore, his father out and entreated him. And answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou gave me no kid. That's the goat, not even a pig. We ain't even had a lamb meal for me. And I've been out there hustling and doing and all that. You hadn't given me nothing that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as Racking, sacking. As thy son has come, which has devoured your living with whores. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Can y'all feel the venom? Boy, you just got to read. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. Stop. See, his faithfulness was rewarded in that his brother had already got his stuff. Everything that was left belonged to the oldest boy. He said, I'm just celebrating that your brother came back. That's my child. You know, this right here belongs to you. I don't have to give you a calf because it's yours. Son hadn't understood the rewards that were coming to him because of his faithfulness to his father. I've always done right. He's like, I know. That's why all this is yours. Because you have. Therein lies the reward for faithfulness in our stewardship. Amen? The brother was able to come back. He is still family, but he said, make me as one of your hired servants. He may do well. He may not. I don't know. Some would say, well, you know, he was a star. I don't know the tenses here in the Greek. But he's restored to the family. And he has the ability to eat again. And he is in right relationship again. Amen. And he is a different person. When his brother takes the time to see it, he'll find out that he is a different person than he was when he left the house. Somebody need to hear me. Y'all got it? Because what he hasn't recognized that the father did, is my son was lost, but he is found now. He was dead, but he is alive. And what this, see the father seeing him come home, realized something had changed. Y'all get it? Wherein the elder son was like, why he back? Didn't realize that something had to change for him even to want to come back. Are y'all with me? And so we see here a picture of stewardship from three levels. The son was a faithful steward, the elder son. The baby boy was a prodigal. He was extravagant and wasteful and all that. The daddy, excellent at what he did. Y'all get it? What am I trying to share with you? The story is about stewardship. Taking care of what our Father has given us. Not wasting what our Father has done himself and then given us as our thing. Does that make sense to everybody? We've got to do better with what's been entrusted to our charge. Amen. I would go farther, but man, my time is exhausted this morning. Lord, this thing even gets better. But I was going to go over into chapter 16, where he talks about the steward, because it gives us an understanding of the accusations that could have been made against the younger son, that a steward had been challenged. They had gone to the lord of all the stuff and said, hey, your steward, your manager, your stuff is wasting it. And he came to tell him, I'm going to challenge your stewardship today. I want to see what you've been doing with my stuff. And he does. And here we are at this time thing. And I'll just, Wednesday night when we come back together, I'll go into chapter 16 and we'll deal with it. Because I think we've covered some ground. So I want to share with you all that we are stewards, period. Stewards. No matter what we do, something is entrusted to our hands. Do y'all hear me? Something. We're in charge of something. Somebody say, I just work at McDonald's. I just do fries. Well, you're the fry steward, actually. Because if ain't no fries, the restaurant gonna have a problem because I don't go to McDonald's for their sandwiches. I go for the fries. If it ain't no hot fries, I have had an unsatisfactory visit because that's all I came for. So the person over fries may not even realize you keeping the business afloat. Well, do y'all think we need some more fries? We got like 2 packs. It takes 7 minutes to cook them, don't it? Somebody might come in, they might want them. They'll go to Burger King if we say we don't have no fries ready. I mean, they don't understand how important it is to do their best at whatever has been entrusted to their hands. Amen? I think about this thing I've been learning as I watch Chelsea and her organization that she's a part of. And I think about Benny Raines and his organization. And I was like, man, that's got to be a tough process to bring new people in and trust that they're going to do the right thing after you bring them in and things are going to flourish after you're gone. I mean, you know, that's just wow. Because you want it to be represented a certain way. And some people really only want the little letters and stuff. They don't want to do the work that come with the letters. They just want to. Yeah. They want the T-shirts and the notoriety. But they don't want the work that caused the notoriety. They just want the fun part. Absolutely. And with everything, there's some work. You know, I learned something from Gary and Major. And it made me a star in Africa. When I was in Africa, I needed to get my beard trimmed because we were preaching every day and that thing was growing over there in the heat. And I went to this dude and he had a picture on the wall of himself cutting hair under a tree. And I was like, well, who's the picture of the dude cutting hair under a tree? He said, well, that's how I started. I used to cut hair under a tree. And now he's got a couple of barber shops and stuff. He's real good at what he does. And so he was working, but his other guy had left. There was a guy in another chair and all that. And I've been at Gary's shop and the Major's shop. And I know one of the most important things, get all the hair up off the floor. And in Africa, if you're a preacher, man, you like royalty over there. And I was sitting there and shoot, his dude was outside and we was having fun laughing and talking. I got up, man, I grabbed the broom and started sweeping the floor. And he says, no, man of God, no. What are you doing? I said, I would do it at home. And he says, no, we can't allow you to do that. I said, man, I got this. And I was sweeping the floor. And he thought that was something. It was just being a good steward. It's just, if you see something to do, do it. And I thought about you, Gary. I thought about Major, because over there, it's four Ghanaian CDs to a dollar. Their dollar, it took four of their dollars to make one of ours. And they charge $5 for a haircut. $1.25. And I paid him like I was paying you. And it's just like, I said, if I was at home, it's what I would pay. I said, I just want to bless you, which made everybody that was traveling with me pay him right too. And he's like, oh my God. And you swept the floor. Some people think that they're too high to do menial tasks. But it's all a part of the bigger picture. Amen? As you leave today, I pray that your goal would be, I'm going to be a better steward. I want to take better care of things. Y'all got it? I ain't fussing at nobody about money. You know, because stewardship is stewardship. You get to the next scripture, chapter 16, at the very end of it, it says, he that's faithful in the least will be faithful in much. He that's unfaithful in a little will be unfaithful in much. What it's saying is, it don't matter what you steward over. If you're faithful, you're faithful. If you're not, so just be faithful over. Faithful is as faithful does. Y'all got it? So that's the challenge. God help me to be a faithful steward. Amen. I thank God for your time. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray together and then our presider is coming back. Amen.